Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast with your hosts,
Bree
and Abby. The end. We need to think of a like more unique way to start.
Sup, bitches?
Or do you think people like they know whenever they start it, like they're gonna hear us?
They're just
fumble on our words.
They're just gonna hear us talking about something,
right? That's
we
true.
Don't always even say.
Lately, we have though, and I can't stop saying it.
Well, I think it makes sense because it's a podcast and we should be welcoming our our listeners.
Yeah. I really wonder like where people are when they're listening. Like where do you listen the most?
To this podcast or
no,
to any podcast?
Any.
I usually listen to podcasts when I'm like cleaning the house or that's usually when I listen to them. I used to listen to them at work when I could. But now I have a job where I sit in front of people all day. So that's not an option.
Not a thing.
So it's usually like when I'm home, bopping around by myself.
Do you ever find that when you're having a phone conversation with someone, I get so much done?
Oh, yeah. You like, put your headphones in and all of a sudden...
Your house is clean?
You're scrubbing like baseboards and you're like, why? What am I doing?
Yes. Yeah. It's my favorite thing when it happens and it like overtakes you and then you're like... How did this happen?
Because it's like, you're not actually, you don't have to think that you're doing, you don't have to think about the fact that you're doing
right. That. Like, what if you're not like talking to someone, then you're just like, this sucks. I'm scrubbing baseboards.
Well, and also I feel like, it's not like I feel like I'm wasting my time when I talk to people.
I can't just sit.
But yeah, I do feel like I either have to have wine in my hand or.
Those are the two options.
Like, agreed. Or be cleaning.
Right.
Or driving.
Right.
Headphones. Don't hold your phone up.
No, that the AirPods have changed my life.
Yeah, I need
the
to
wireless
get
ones. I thought they were stupid. Now I'm like, they're like my new little best friend that lives in a cute little case.
But you know what would suck?
Is losing one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like to me, they like I feel like it's more likely that I'd lose the case because I always put them back in it.
But that's what I mean, like losing
right,
the case.
That would suck. I know. You could buy, if you were one of those people that did tile,
you
could put a tile on it.
Yeah.
Thought about that. I probably
But I guess you would probably just put them in the same spot, like,
I throw them in my purse. I just always carry them like my wallet now.
Yeah.
I like today at Trader Joe's, I wore headphones and grocery shopped, which
I always do that.
I've never done that. I don't know why.
What?
Yeah.
I do not want anyone to fucking speak to me while I'm
Well, the only problem with these is no one can really see that you're listening if your hair is down.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever. Say whatever you want to me. I will just disregard. Ignore.
I bought a lot of stuff at Trader Joe's today.
I went there. What'd you buy?
Well, I was very hungry when I went.
Oh, terrible idea.
And then I bought all like pre-made or frozen things.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Nothing that actually involves me having to cook.
Well, that's a good idea,
they
though.
They have these good pasta salads. One's lemon basil. And it's so good. It has zucchini. And then I had a Mediterranean. I got a lot of pasta salads.
That type of weather cools you right down.
It's barbecue weather, bitches.
I went there before I went on my family trip this weekend. Because I was in charge of bringing snacks. And I got there and there were 7,000 snacks. So no one ate my snacks. So now I have snacks.
Wait,
which
what do
I
you
never
mean?
Have snacks in the house.
What do you mean there was 7,000 snacks?
People just brought
snacks. Oh, everyone
did. My parents and my mom was like, bring some snacks. And I was like, okay. So it was like chips and salsa and like pretzels and pita chips and cookies.
So
and
now we should go to your house.
Yeah,
you have
they're
snacks.
All it's all at my house.
It's dangerous.
I ate all the cookies. So stupid. I brought them for breakfast today. I was like, this is what I'm having for breakfast. Cookies.
I am addicted to cookies. You brought one over, which was, you know me.
Yeah.
I also, Trader Joe's bought, they have like these like cute bags of like homemade type cookies.
Yeah.
I have to have cookies in my house at all time and I have to eat one. I eat one on the way to working out, which I don't know why, but my brain is like, well, your body needs a little bit of fuel.
I think you're addicted to sugar.
Maybe.
I think I actually was talking to Rachel about this. It's like this reward system in your head of like needing sugar after every meal.
Well, yeah, it's to me, it really became a thing after I worked at a summer camp where literally every meal there was like a dessert, like a Rice Krispie treat, a cookie, pudding. Something. Pudding. Like in the breakfast, it was like a little donut thing. Like you yep. always, so I just associated that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
I like it though. I think a salty sweet.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't.
And then I need salty again.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
So I end with some potato chips.
It's totally fine. I ate half a cookie today after my salad. And then I was asking Abby if she wanted any, and she was like, yeah, save me
some. I just meant not this minute.
I could have, like, pounded that whole cookie.
I also like the Trader Joe's people because they're so nice.
Oh, my God. They're just there.
They always make great comments about what you buy. It makes you feel great. I was hoping you wouldn't notice that. They make great comments about what you buy, and they're wonderful.
They never make fun of your list.
Yeah. He was like, this honey almond shrimp, great choice. Love it with fried rice. Oh, look, you got the fried rice. You're on the right track. And then I felt like my day was starting out right.
Well, you know what's funny is I have, sometimes I feel like they say the same shit to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get this lady checking me out like multiple times. And every time she does, she makes a comment about the wet cat food I buy and how she buys it for her cat and her cat really likes it. And that's all we ever talk about is this fucking wet cat food. And so I realized, like, she probably says that to every... And she doesn't remember me ever.
Right. Do you think she has a cat?
Well, I would hope so.
Do you think she actually buys wet cat food for herself? I thought it was like just a... Like, she's faking you out. Like, she'd say that if you
like dog food. Seems genuine.
Okay.
Like... That's next true. Time I should ask her what her cat's name is, she'll probably stumble.
Yeah, do that.
What if she was like, Furball? And then the next time I ask, she's like...
Yeah. Kitty.
Yeah.
You should... you should... next time you just go right away and be like, how's your cat? And just ask right off the bat. Throw her off.
Well, wouldn't that be kind of creepy?
I mean, she tells you about her cat every time you go there.
That's true.
I always get free stuff too, but or like... Not always. What? It's happened a couple times where I'm like, I think, what did I say? I was like, do you know a sauce that would be good on this? And then they're like, oh yeah, we recommend, oops, my pen. They're like, we recommend this one. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
Recommend my pen 15.
And then I go, I'll just get it next time. And they're like, no, what, here, why don't you get it? You try it. If you don't like it, return it. And they've given it to me for free.
Return it for what?
Like for my money back. Or, no, wait.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
I think just, I don't know, if I didn't like it, I don't have to keep it in my fridge.
Just bring it back and then they'll take it off the shelves because you don't like it.
Something like that.
I think you just have, you're the queen of Trader Joe's. I almost said TJ Maxx. I am the queen of TJ Maxx.
You're the queen of Kohl's.
Kohl's, fucking Kohl's. Love it. How was your weekend?
It was good. I had a wedding. It was chaotic. I survived.
Well, I want to know what that means.
I don't know who listens.
Was it just like a lot going on?
It was a lot going on. I mean, it was so good. And like at the end of the night, the bride and I like said, I love you to each other. Like it was a moment. She also, I think if she does listen, she would appreciate that she texted me afterwards and said, you're the baddest bitch. That was her.
I love that.
And I was like, I think that's a compliment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was great. It was a lot of logistics and just a lot of craziness, but it was very cool. I'm gonna get this wrong. There was a really cool like moment. Her family is like Middle Eastern and I cannot remember the like exact, like what they are. It's like Cal something. I feel like a dimwit that I can't remember, but they did this amazing Iraqi drum ceremony like at the reception with like this one guy with like a horn, little horn, like very small. Mm-hmm. And then this guy with a big ass drum, and they like did like a parade and everyone danced. And then they went into the cake cutting room and this music was playing. And like, all I can think of is like, when you think of, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. That was a really, really good rendition. It was so loud. Like the drums were like guttural. Like it was and everyone was just like bouncing and dancing, and it went on for like an hour. And this guy, it's kind of like the bagpipes where there's a constant airflow either in or out. Like, because there's not notes. It's just like, it's like all like airflow. I don't know how he did that for an hour.
Yeah. You would have to be.
It was incredible. Like
why did it go on for an hour?
It was just, I feel like, well, for a while, the bride forgot to, like, go into the cake room, so they were just dancing in the room, and then I had to be like, come this way.
Oh, so it was so loud. That's what you mean about, like, logistics.
But I think at those weddings, if it's a full, whatever that culture is called, wedding, that's how, they, like, pick the bride up from their house and play that music all the way until she gets to where the ceremony is, and then all the way back. Like, it happens for hours.
Wow.
So it was really cool. And it was like a very Catholic ceremony. So it was
weird.
Yeah, they were, you know, pleasing both
families. Sides of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes me nervous about weddings. Because, like, part of it feels like, I understand that, like, you want to, like, pay respect to your family and how you were raised and stuff. But, like, ultimately, it's about you starting a life with someone.
Right.
And I just feel like I would almost just kind of want, like, my immediate family and, like, a couple close friends. I know you talk about wanting a big party, but, like, maybe have a big party later. But, like, the actual ceremony and stuff, like, I don't know. It just, the older I get, the more stressful that sounds to me.
Yeah, I think, like, for them, like, they also, like, they wanted it that way. I think if you've ever forced in that situation, that's when it sucks. Like, you should truly do you.
Yeah.
And also, though, I mean, that is stressful. Like, weddings are just, I don't know. So, it was an awesome day. And then I came back on Sunday and I felt emotionally drained because I felt like I held space for like 40 people's emotions.
Oh, yeah.
In one day. Like, I mean, that's what I do. And so I like was like dead sort of on Sunday.
And it was Father's Day.
Yeah, so which happy, I did a lot of things. Happy, oh my
Father's
gosh.
Father's Day to any of our listeners who are fathers. I know we, I think, have one.
Yeah. Who's your favorite father on Grey's Anatomy? Spoiler alert.
Ooh, not Owen.
That's not even fair. He wants to be a dad.
That wasn't fair. Probably.
I can only think of Derek and Jackson.
What if I was like Thatcher?
I almost choose Chief. Because they may not be his blood, like Meredith, but he's like so good to them. And then he finds out about Maggie and like, I choose Chief.
Or Jackson's a pretty good dad.
Mm-hmm. He just seems like the obvious choice.
Yeah. Maybe Chief or...
I would have liked to see Burke as a dad.
Well, we do. Not really, but
Yeah.
He does get to become a dad.
Right. But I would have liked to, like, seen him.
Yeah. And I don't think... I think Derek's a good dad, but, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Probably Chief. I'll
Karev follow. Would be a good dad, too.
Do we think Karev's going to become a dad?
Oh, I guess that could happen.
Yeah, that could still happen.
That would be great.
Although it's not like they're... good uncle.
Oh, Sloane.
Oh, he was a good dad.
It's not like they're... He probably has more children than we even know. it's not like, though, we ever get to see these people being, like, hardcore parents. Like, they, like, show them for a minute, which is fine. Oh, I like... Bailey and her husband, too, even though that's not his son, but...
I do love the dad, the random dad who his son is a ballerina and, like, has a leg bone cancer problem.
Oh, I kind of remember this.
And it's, like, later episodes, and they have to, like, do surgery, and, like, his dad knows nothing about it, but he's like, that's my son, he's a beautiful dancer, you know? Save his leg.
You remember them better than me.
We'll get to it someday.
Yeah.
So did you do anything with, happy Father's Day, Tom?
Oh, happy Father's Day, Greg.
There we go.
Do you know that sometimes because you call your mom Denny, like Greg and Denny, I sometimes forget what your dad's name is. Like, I'm like, which one is it?
Oh yeah. Is like, it Denny? Yeah.
I know it's Denise is your mom, but like in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid someday I'm going to be like, how's your dad Denny?
Denny. Yeah. Because like Denny Duquette, man.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend, my nephew calls my parents Mimi and Poppy.
Yeah,
But this weekend, Bing learned that Mimi and Poppy have names.
Oh, exciting.
And so he just kept saying, like, that, and he would stutter, and he would point at my dad, and he would say, that's Greg. And then he, like, wouldn't call him Poppy all weekend.
Oh, no.
He would call him Greg, and... My dad was like, thanks a lot, Denise. Now my grandson is calling me Greg.
Imagine when you have your own kids and then they find out that you have names.
Yeah.
I guess they must know because other people are calling them.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's weird. It's a weird thought.
But like my parents, I don't know what your parents do. I mean, your parents are divorced, so I don't know how they refer to each other. But my mom always says your dad. You know, like she doesn't say Greg. So, I mean, growing up, too, like you say, like your dad.
Right, right, right. But I guess I mean when other people would be like, hey, Greg, yeah. you know?
But when I talk to my nephew, I'm not like, when they're that young, you're like, you, no, say, you say mama.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Whatever. But I just mean he might hear you talking to your, well, you don't call your dad Greg. I don't know what I'm saying. This guy, I don't know. But yeah, so you were out on a lake living Dude. Life.
Yeah, went up, let's see, how many were there? Like 9 adults and 4 grandchildren.
You were almost out, not, you weren't outnumbered.
Yeah, almost. We went up to Traverse City. Well, we went up to the peninsula, Leelanau? Yeah. Or is it Leland? Yeah. Leelanau.
Leelanau.
Yeah. And we were, we rented this big house for Father's Day weekend. Johnny K had his first family vacation with us. He survived. It was good. All in all, it was good. I will just say that, like, being in the same space as your family nonstop can be a thing.
Isn't it bizarre that we, like, lived with our families?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, like, it was a lot of fun. I mean, like, we went wine tasting, and my sister and her husband just bought a boat. So they brought the boat up and put it on Lake Leelanau. But we had, like, shitty weather. It's raining right now. But it rained. It was supposed to be, like, 90 degrees on Saturday, clear skies. And it rained till, like, 2, oh. which was really shitty.
Yeah.
So we went on, like, a late boat ride. And we ended up wine tasting instead. But then Sunday, it was supposed to be, like, beautiful. And ended up being beautiful. But we all woke up to go to breakfast early with a fucking thunderstorm. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm. It's raining again. And we just wanted to, like, go out on the boat, have a good time. And ended up clearing up. And so we got out on the lake for, like, a couple hours. We went out. And then we got stuck in a rainstorm. And so came back in.
Who's driving the boat?
Adam, oh, okay. my brother-in-law. And then went back out, and yeah, it was just a nice pontoon. I jumped in Lake Leelanau because I had to pee really bad. And
was it so cold, though, that you couldn't pee then because you're shocked?
It was cold, but it wasn't that cold, but I was just laughing really hard.
Yeah.
And then they don't have an anchor yet, so I felt like the boat was drifting very far away, so I started panicking.
Speaking of that, we need to see a drift because there's a scene.
Oh, yeah. And then... this was a story I wanted to tell. So it was like kind of on and off rain. And Sunday morning woke up and it was storming and I came in to wake up Johnny K, or just like kind of awake, but I was like, I just got out of the shower. I was like, you need to get in the shower because we need to go to breakfast. So we were both standing in front of the window and I swear to God, I think the lightning that hit struck right outside our window onto the driveway. I've never screamed so loud in my life. I didn't know that this tone could come out, but I was like, oh, Jesus. And Johnny K lifted his knee to his face and jumped backwards. And I realized then, and like covered his face, I realized then that if there is ever anything terrible happening, he's going to shove me forward and he's going to retreat. It was like, I just kind of like waved my arms in the air, but he like had the, in my head, him jumping on one foot and like cowering. Anyway,
it was really fun. I had a moment like that with Jake on our honeymoon. We were up north. We were in Mackinac Island and there was like a haunted house, but I thought it was just like not really, like just one with like weird things. Like, you would just walk around. Like, I didn't think there was, like, people that were to scare
you. Oh, it was, like, a haunted house. Like,
yeah, but it's just on the main road.
Like an activity.
Yeah, like, I thought it was just, like, yeah, like an activity. And I thought it was just, like, because, like, weird pictures on the walls and, like, spooky things.
Yeah.
And we walk in and we pay our whatever. And, like, no, it's, like, people jumping out at you. And, like, the first time it happened, Jake literally crumbled to the ground in a ball. And I was, like... Okay, so you're no help.
Yeah,
like,
that is, it's a weird moment when you realize...
Everyone's fending for themselves.
Yeah. It's like that episode in Grey's Anatomy where the girl that gets shot in the restaurant with the Burke thing. And then he was like, I'll never do that again, baby. And then comes back. And
she's done. And then he hides.
Hides again.
So
yeah, great weekend. Love the family.
Happy Father's Day.
This is funny. So... my sister has twins, and everyone was just, like, tired by the time we all, like, went home. And we got a text in the group text message that my sister had bathed one of the babies twice and like put them in the wrong crib and didn't even realize it because like her husband gave her the same baby twice. They were that tired.
That poor one baby.
Yeah. I think they like baths, so it was fine. But I think they were like trying to feed a baby twice and then they were like, oh my God, everything's all messed up.
I can imagine that would happen a lot.
I don't think it does.
No?
I think they were just really tired.
But I imagine being, I don't know.
They're pretty.
Yeah.
I think as a mother, you know.
That's
and
true.
And they're, that's they true. Feel different.
Maybe dads do it.
Yeah, I think dads probably
I could
do.
See that happening.
I think, yeah.
Listeners, if I sound like I'm
you
dying,
look like you're having a terrible time.
I'm having a great time. I'm just very hot. If someone's a doctor, will they let me know what being on your period can do in the heat? Also, sorry.
I think you can just mess with your hormones. I mean, it is like 90 degrees outside.
It's just wet. Like everything.
It's
like
humid.
My thighs feel stuck together.
Yeah, it's really
I'm trying
humid.
To spread them like as far from each other.
Yeah.
If I did what you were doing right now, they would be literally like water.
But
between.
I'm not sweating at all.
I think it's because I've been in it all day.
Yeah.
I haven't had like a break.
We got home to our apartment last night, and it was...
You have a window unit now, though.
Yeah, we immediately turned... Well, it'd been off, you know? Yeah. The bedroom, we turned it on, we immediately got in bed. We're like, we cannot be in this, like, apartment. Fuck this.
And you know, listeners, I thought, like, oh, it's hot. I'm probably going to, like, eat healthy or not eat as much. I persevered. I ate a hot pizza.
I thought you were going to say a hot pocket.
I had these really good enchiladas for lunch. I just, you know, ate a bunch of hot shit. Why did I do that?
Yeah, you should have had, like, watermelon.
I did have a watermelon smoothie. Funny that you say that.
I thought you were going to say a whole watermelon.
I could
have a watermelon.
I would like to submerge my face into a watermelon right now. We'll see.
You know what you should do?
What?
Cut up a banana, like, into little round things. My sister did this weekend. Lay them flat in a Ziploc bag and freeze them.
Yeah.
Tastes like ice cream.
Oh, yeah, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
You can chocolate cover them also.
Yeah, and then... It's like a nice, cold, healthy snack.
I should do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I could put peanut butter on it.
You can also put grapes in the freezer,
too. I love frozen grapes. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing.
Yeah, so there you go. I just saved your life.
I'm going
to
submerge my head.
How to save a life.
I'm going
to
submerge my head into the frozen grapes.
Or just stick your head. You know what I started doing is putting an ice pack on me when it was really hot?
Yeah.
Just do that.
I should. When you open our freezer, it looks like a waterfall of air because the cold air, like... drops. It's really pretty looking. So, should we get into this episode? Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break because I need more wine. And also, I'm just going to like preface this with like, I don't really care for it.
Yeah. Besides like the one big thing.
Yeah, so.
So, okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, you guys, this episode of the... I've always wanted to say this. This episode of The On-Call Room is brought to you by A-Day.
Oh.
Not Squarespace, not Spotify, A-Day. Okay, so a cool thing. We've been talking about them for a couple weeks. Every single Saturday, I wear their clothes to shoot a wedding in. This weekend, I have their, like, track pants, which are kind of like... Do you remember those, like, rip-off button pants that we wore in middle school that are, like, shiny?
I never wore them, but yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
you didn't wear blue rip-off pants.
I didn't, but...
Well, they're black like that, like joggers, and they're shiny. So they kind of look... And they have like rose gold zippers. Mm-hmm. So they kind of look swanky.
Yeah.
And I wore them with a black tank top, like tucked in. So I looked like business, but also everyone knew I was comfortable. But guys, they're coming out with their first pattern, and I thought this was cool. They sent me a thing about how like all their stuff they want is to be like seasonless. Like they don't want you to have like summer clothes and winter clothes. They just want it to look good all the time. And it says they're bringing back their first print, which is a Breton stripe. And it says, here's why we love the Breton stripe. Coco Chanel first brought the stripe over to women's wear as a symbol of gender equality. And in parentheses, they wrote unisex. It was originally used on the French Navy uniform, making it easier to spot someone if they fell overboard, in parentheses, function. It has since been worn by some of the most visionary creatives out there, including Pablo Picasso, Andy Warhol, Brigitte Bardot, Eddie Sedgwick, Jean-Paul Gaultier, oh fuck, I don't know who that is, Audrey Hepburn, and James Dean, in parentheses, classic. So fuck yeah, it's unisex, function, and classic, which I like. So their something borrowed shirt and their another tank, the Dream Harder tank top, are going to come in stripes. And it's really freaking cute. And you can get first dibs and 20% off.
So do it.
So do it. So go to www.thisis8day.com and use the code OnCallRoomXAday. It's going to be written in the show notes. And you can get 20% off your first order. Let us know if you like it. Bree, any last words?
No, I think you pretty much crushed it.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
Bye. I was thinking the song name for this episode is Scars and Stitches, which is like it's Scars and Souvenirs.
Oh, yeah. Scars and Souvenirs.
And I was thinking it was this emo song I used to like in high school. It's like, Scars and Stitches in my ear.
I loved how you had to do like air guitar with that.
But like how emo of a song title is Scars and Stitches.
What? Who was that by?
I don't know. It was some like not very famous. Just like.
Mayday Parade?
That sounds like. This.
So like Mayday Parade. Probably. I swear that you don't have to get that.
Remember? I don't remember what it was. That someone was talking like, they're like, I'm sorry, Mom. Like every song was like, it had that same like tone. Yeah. I'm glad
I missed that.
I have a playlist that I listen to a lot on Spotify. It's called.
Are you a little embarrassed that how often you listen to it?
I listen to it a lot when I'm in Grand Haven.
Oh, yeah. Bringing back the memories.
Yeah. Nostalgia is what the playlist is called.
Mm.
It's a lot of Cartel, Rocket Summer.
Yeah.
Dashboard.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know how good those times were. Kind of like we didn't know how good it was when, like, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were
making
it.
Art?
Yes. Like, don't you just think about that?
Sometimes, but I try not to get too deep into
it. I know.
Because then I spiral into
sadness.
Yeah.
I think that in years from now, we're going to be like, but I think we're aware of it. It's like, wow, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a treasure.
I already feel that way.
I know. He's a national treasure.
Like Nicolas Cage.
Which I watched that movie.
Had you never seen it?
I had, but it had been a while.
You know what? Where did you watch it?
On Netflix.
Perfect. I really like that. You know what, guys? I don't even give a fuck what any of you have to say because you're all going to have opinions about this. I fucking love National Treasure.
It's funny because it, like, Jake and I, our biggest fights come from choosing something to watch.
That is so funny to me.
Like, we can never agree. And he wants to watch people do eating contests.
I'm wondering if JK is just, like, still in that phase where he's like letting me watch what I want to watch.
It could be.
But also, he's actually not very big on TV or anything. So I don't think he has this like intense desire to like put on a show.
Jake likes to watch like easy watching things. Like things either that he's seen or that are like, he doesn't like to start new shows. Like the...
I can get horrible sixes. I can get that. Yeah. Like at night, we're doing a fucking podcast about a show that I've seen 7 million times.
Right, right.
So obviously, but I do like... To start new things, I have to be in the right headspace.
Right.
But then I end up fucking binge watching that.
Yeah. So the funny thing about this is, though, for the first time in our lives, I was, like, in charge of picking and, you know, but still have to, like, get the okay. And I was like, what about National Treasure? And he was like, yup. And I was like, that has never happened.
That's amazing.
And
everyone can agree on National Treasure.
I was, like, Instagramming it because I forgot, like, the beginning scene, he's in, like, a snow machine.
Yeah.
Like, in off-roading.
You mean a snowmobile?
Yeah, but it's, like, a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's, like, that
And he's got that
thing.
Fur hat or coat on. And then
my dad loves that movie.
He says the Declaration of Independence. He says the phrase, steal the Declaration of Independence. I was like, we should make a drinking game out of this because he says, like, now they're going to steal the Declaration, so I have to steal the Declaration. You don't understand. If I didn't steal the Declaration, like he says it, that girl is so annoying too.
Oh, yeah. And they end up like, did you see the second one?
Oh, no. Well, they have an estate at the end.
Yeah, which is...
You're so defeated too at the end when like the dad is like, this is the last clue. And then the elevator's going up and you're like, fuck, they're going to die down there. And then the dad was just like, huh, that's a fake clue.
Yeah.
And then they go and solve it.
And then there's all of that.
The treasure.
It just keeps going.
I was like, wait, this is so unrealistic. How did that even all get down there?
I don't know, man, but it's the best movie.
And now I was like, now the place is going to burn down.
1 to 10 scalpels.
Oh, 10.
10, easy.
It's
like,
just,
it's not even a question.
It's everything you want in a movie.
It's an adventure.
Right, love.
Yeah.
Jokes.
Lots of jokes. The one little sidekick, he's hilarious.
Yeah, there's always the dumb, funny sidekick.
Yeah.
The thing that... like, it reminds me of, like, the only other movie that really does it for me is, like, any of the Jurassic Park movies. New and old. Like, even the shitty ones that were, like, Jurassic Park 2.
Three?
Like, yeah, because it's, like, dinosaurs, action, love. Yeah.
Everything you could ever possibly want.
Sometimes cheesy movies are good. But I also was watching this, and I was like, is this the same movie as the one with Tom Hanks?
What's the Tom Hanks
It's based one? Off the books, with the Dan Brown books.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, probably.
Who knows?
Nicolas Cage did it first.
Yeah, he's the OG.
Does Nicolas Cage play a character, or is he just himself in every movie?
He is himself
That's
in every
truly.
Movie.
He has no emotion. He would be like, I'm very sad.
Yeah, I know.
Or like, he is, I'm very happy.
Did you ever see The Family Man?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he also the one who's in, City of Angels?
Yeah, he's in isn't he in The Time Traveler's Wife or something? Or is that someone else?
No, that's gonna bother me. Because he's hot as hell. Nicolas Cage is not hot as hell. Although, in The Family Man, he is in his underwear at one point, and he has a shockingly nice body.
If Nicolas Cage, though, you were single at a bar,
It would be like, you're fucking Nicolas Cage.
Okay, let's say he's not Nicolas Cage, but he's just someone that looks like Nicolas Cage.
No,
talks like Nicolas Cage and definitely stole the Declaration. Okay, Gates, Benjamin Gates. Benjamin Gates, what are you doing?
But Benjamin Gates is also kind of a dick. Should we do a podcast on
all of the Nicolas Cage characters?
Yeah. And
if
National
there's any
Treasure.
Differences?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That will be our bonus episode. They're now switching from Grey's Anatomy to...
Everyone's like, I'm unpatroning you.
Yeah, don't want anything to do with that. I did want to say something about, like, you and Jake, like, watching things or whatever, and that your biggest fights or whatever. So, listeners, Abby and I have kind of switched it up where we started watching the episodes separately.
Yeah.
Because it gives us more time. So I usually either do it on my lunch break on Mondays. Or on the weekend, like the Sunday before. And so JK is usually around during those days. And I'll be like, I have to watch an episode. And he so quickly, every time, is like, oh, I'll watch with you.
He likes it.
I honestly think he does. Like last night, we were laying in bed watching it. And then I had to watch another one. And I was like... You know, I know you have to go to bed soon, so if we have to turn it off. And he's like, no, like, I'll watch the next one.
Well, it's a good
season.
He
was asking all these questions, and I was like, and it's so funny, because he'd ask this question where you literally wouldn't know the answer, or you might know the answer, like, 5 seconds later. It's like,
right.
Just watch the show.
That's
like, literally
Jake
5 seconds later,
yeah.
They're gonna give you that answer. But then sometimes he'd ask a question where it'd be like, dude, that doesn't come out until 5 seasons. Like, watch the show. But the thing is, like... I think he secretly really likes this.
Well, this is a prime season.
I know.
And he saw the Meredith drowning episodes, right?
No, I watched those alone.
Oh, okay. He missed that whole
season. Yeah,
section.
But, like, I think he's, like, intrigued. And then, like, at, like, one part, and I didn't really notice this, but, like, the music started, he was like, yeah, towards the end, he's like, yeah, we're to the surgery part of the episode. And I was like, wait, this does kind of have the same theme, where then they're all in the surgery at the end, and there's this, like, intense music.
Right.
And I was like, huh,
how do we never
notice that?
There's literally like a, yeah.
Now, yeah.
My favorite sections of Grey's Anatomy episodes are the lunch scenes.
Mine too.
They're just so quippy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this bullshit.
Okay, so wait, I think I lost my page. There we go.
Okay, so first notes.
My first note is I love this song. It's Coop. Pretty sure this is in a different episode, too.
It could be.
I think this song is in, like, a Christmas episode.
I didn't even hear the song.
It's...
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Baby, I've been waiting
Keep going.
For you.
I wrote Alex Moves In and Everyone Has Seen Izzy Naked Now.
What'd you say?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Something about Alex moved in and he's seen Izzy naked now.
Yeah, so like, I mean, like, George was walking in on Izzy naked when he first moved to their Cali. I don't know. I feel like
Why
everyone...
are people walking in on, like...
Also, though, it's funny now that I think about it, like, Alex has slept with Izzy. So, like...
So it doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I just... I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying, but, like, why is Izzy in such a tippy?
I don't
tippy?
Know.
Tippy? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Izzy in a tippy.
Izzy's
no,
in a tippy. So Alex lives there now, which is so cute.
Yeah, and I wrote Alex moving in ?
Yeah.
But Meredith is all like about her people now or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I also wrote, because, you know, he says to Izzy, I'm not interested. and like right or something. And then I right away I was like, so who is he interested in? Like, I didn't realize that this attachment with this Jane Doe. I don't know.
Oh,
that
he's very attached to Jane Doe.
Yeah. And I don't know if he even knows it or would identify it as like, I'm interested in her romantically or just, but
I think
it gets his mind off Izzy. And
he has like a savior complex with her. So then like the next scene, I just want to say my note is like George. And I said, LOL, George is me talking about my shit no one cares about. You know when you're like really irritated with someone or something and you obviously understand that like no one in your space cares or wants to hear about it, but you literally can't stop talking about
it.
And then like he's having a conversation with himself. He's like, you know what she is? She's selfish. I'm like, no, she's not selfish. She's actually like very giving.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
You're also the lady on the phone that calls all her friends and tells the same. I love that though. Okay, should we do a shotgun workup?
Yeah.
So we have Jane Doe.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Schofield, who is the guy who was shot. So a war veteran. He has like a bullet in his scapula. And then we have Helen Crawford, who is friends with Derek from New York and has a brain tumor.
Yep.
Who, can I just talk about her for a second?
Sure.
Loved her accent.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
I feel like she's in another show. Is she, we should look this up at the end. Is she in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
That's an odd choice, but it could be. Cast, let's see. Guest stars. Susan Gray, is that what I said? No, Helen Crawford. She is... what are you asking about?
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
She is!
She's the archaeologist with Blake Lively. Why do I know that? Why? Does it...
I truly don't know why you know that, but I love it. So those are our people. What ones do we want to talk about first?
Well, I want to talk about Jane Doe, because my next thing I know is, oh my God, her face is even worse this episode.
It looks like they blurred it. Like, it's just so like you took a blurring tool and did it. How did they put that on her face?
It has to be CGI or something, right?
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's...
I would be scared at myself.
They don't let her look in the mirror, right?
Not in this episode, but
also,
in the next one.
Also, Johnny Gay mentioned, he was like... He was like, wait, she has amnesia? How is she speaking? And I was like, you don't lose your ability to speak with amnesia. You're like, I don't think that's true. I'm like, I think it is.
And you're like, I've seen enough Grays. I know that's not how it works.
You just forget certain things, right?
Right, right.
It's just like a part of your brain where you lose your memories, not your like motor skills and ability to
speak. Right, like I think it can affect different parts, but yeah. I'm trying to see what else I have on her. I feel like... I don't have a lot. It's just...
I don't have a lot of notes in general.
I know. I feel bad for our listeners. I literally don't have any notes on her other than that clearly she likes Alex. There's a weird thing happening and it's going to be bad.
I'm sorry. I am getting some episodes mixed up, so I just have to ask. Is this the one where she's trying to pick a fence?
That's next episode.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, I know. Also, like, it's weird to me because Alex has always seemed kind of shallow and it surprises me that he, like...
Yeah, why is
it's always been weird to me.
He's so attached to her.
Yeah.
And is like always coming in and checking on her. The other thing that I've noticed is it's like they tend to, like, he's probably getting close to stepping over a line here. And yet Bailey keeps putting him on that service. And it's like she does that with Denny. She did that with like Christina and Burke. Like, I don't get why are they not picking up on these things?
Television.
Hmm.
But yeah, I just wonder too if they just think they're being really good, like the patient is responsive to them. I think they just assume after the Denny thing no one would fuck up like that ever again.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, Izzy, and I don't have a specific example because I can't remember if it was in next week's or this one, but Izzy, like, I get the Denny thing. She brings it up a lot when, like, her friends are having an issue and then she just, like, wants to be like, okay, well, the gravity of life is you can lose people. You know what I mean? Like, she always, like, brings it in to conversations when it, like...
Yeah, I think it's next episode, yeah. So I'll wait because I have a note about that.
Yeah.
So stay tuned until next week, listeners, because I have some shit to say about Izzy.
Right. Okay, how about we talk about a fun topic? Let's talk about Christina and her old teacher.
Dude,
I forgot about this.
He sexually harassed her by grabbing her fucking ass in front of
everyone. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened in the... Like,
It's so inappropriate.
Yeah. And she freezes.
Yeah. What's his name? Carl.
Oh, he's the only name I didn't write down.
Same. Carlo, not Carlo. Marlo. Colin Marlo. Right?
Okay. Let's just call him that. Let's call him Doc.
I think it's Colin Marlo, but...
Colin Marlo. Yeah, so he's a big...
So does Chief pull him in to, like, have him be a potential candidate to become Chief?
Or is he doing it to get his other candidates to, like...
That's what I don't know, and I don't feel like they ever really tell us that.
No, it doesn't make sense.
What do you think?
I think maybe Chief wanted to bring in an outside perspective to see if they're a good fit.
Yeah.
Like...
But do you think he was bringing him in as Chief potential?
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So, first of all... I love the scene where Christina and Meredith are in the closet. Meredith's hiding from her stepmom. Christina's hiding from
that. Colin Marlo.
Yeah. And they like, she's like, wow, you went right to the head of, you know,
yeah,
cardio. So I just
like,
thought.
Like, we had people in our class.
Right. Ooh. Which it just makes me laugh that that's what Chris, like that happened with Christina. Also, then I forgot. So surprising. She was with him for 3 years.
Like probably her whole, almost whole.
Like they career. Were a couple.
Yeah.
And so, I guess I understand, well, I don't know. I never understand Burks being upset because, like, him and Christina have never really sat down and chatted about their past things. And there's, like, a whole nother conversation we had about whether or not, like, people should judge you based on who you're with and if people need to know your whole history. You know what I mean? Like,
but, have we had this conversation before?
What do you mean?
I said there's a whole, you said there's
just
a
in
whole.
Life. I mean, like.
I'm wondering, have we talked about this before? What do you think?
I don't think so. Maybe it's another podcast I listen to. No, I just think in general, like, if people ask, I don't think they should have the right to, like, judge you. Like, let's say you've had a ton of partners.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that that necessarily is, like, should be a bad thing or a good thing.
But I'm saying if someone asks, so say your partner, like, yeah. Burke finds out or whatever, and Burke asks, or say Burke asks Christina, does she have to disclose that information, do you think?
Oh, I think if you want to start a relationship on an honest foot, yeah, you would. Like, if he asks, like, who have you dated before?
Or, no, like, who have you fucked before?
Yeah, I think you can be honest with whatever you feel is, like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's probably some
But that was a three-year relationship. That was
Yeah, that's different than,
yeah,
like,
it wasn't, like, a one-night stand, which I thought it was at first. I didn't realize that it was, like, no, they dated.
Yeah.
So that was just surprising to me because Christina hasn't even, well, I guess we've assumed she's been with Burke for like 2 years or a year or something.
Yeah.
Also, we learn in this episode it's been 2 months since Meredith drowned because Addison says to Sloane, oh, you made it this full 60 days.
Okay. Which, just a little note on that. I said, Mark saying Addison is worth it while she's saying didn't, or wait. Mark saying Addison is worth it. While he says, I didn't say I wouldn't look, is like the most fucked up dichotomy. Like, what are you talking about, Mark? I think that is so skeezy that he's like, yeah, I didn't fuck anyone, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to look at other women while you were literally standing next to me, but you're worth it. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
If I was Addison, I'd be like, you lose. Like,
yeah, right.
60 days, it doesn't matter. Like, you're standing next to me being a skeez.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree that he could have looked without needing to tell her. The fact that he disclosed, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That,
you can look at whoever you want.
But why would you, like, use that as, it's like he wants her to be jealous or something.
I don't know, yeah.
But yeah, so we learn it's been a 2 month time jump, just for reference.
So, really,
that's why Meredith's, like, fine.
And like, back to normal. And her mother is in an urn in the back of her closet.
Yes. Also, I love Burke calls Christina a kiss ass right in the beginning.
I don't remember that.
It's right in, like, Colin Marlo, like, shows up. And he, like, knows who she is or so. I don't know what happens, but Burke says, like, refers to Christina as she can be a kiss ass. And I thought that was funny.
Hilarious.
I guess you remembered the storyline. I just forgot.
I love the Derek and Burke conversation in front of the surgical board where Derek is like, it's like one-liners. He with yes. Yikes. Oh, like, you know, like they
right,
know.
Right. They know what they're talking about.
Because like the last time the last time we've seen like a scene like them in front of the surgical board is when they talk about not being friends in the bomb episode.
Right. Right.
And then this time they're like talking about their girlfriend.
Well, Burke did tell Derek he was engaged.
That's true. But I'm talking like that moment in front
of the board. Yeah.
And like just these men of like little words, but like
they know what they mean. Yeah. Right, right. I think it's important that, oh wait, no, that was in the next one. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have anything else on Christina for this week other than it was really shocking to me.
Yeah.
Especially because she's so non-committal. I just didn't picture her being in a 3-year relationship.
How do you feel about like Burke's response about like marriage and like being like, I don't know you? Or was that next episode?
Oh no.
I'm sorry. These two episodes in my mind, listeners, they're like, whatever, you've all seen them. They are like very close. Well, and the storylines,
They blended. Yeah. So let's talk about George finding out Callie has money.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, we find that out. And then, of course, he tells Meredith, who tells Izzy, who then Izzy is a dumbass and says stuff to Callie. Oh my God,
Izzy, shut the fuck up. It's the same
storyline in
every... Over and over again, like, you could afford it. Like, why would you say that?
Right, right.
Even, I know you don't like Callie, but, like, to anyone in general.
Yeah, no, they have no filters.
How did you think George's response was?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, their fight? With
finding out.
Oh, I mean, I think that would be shocking. Well, their entire relationship is a disaster.
Yeah.
They got married without knowing anything about each other. So yep. I think, like, I understand his shock.
Right.
I just wrote, one of my notes is literally, George and Callie is a disaster. And then I really think in their fight in the hotel room, Callie is like what sparks the whole Izzy George thing. Like, I don't think it would have happened if Callie hadn't been like, she has the hots for you. Because
I don't know.
Because Izzy was like trying to want Alex in the early beginning of the episode. She like was sad that he wasn't interested anymore. I think Izzy's just lonely because she kept making all those comments about how she doesn't want to end up alone and all this stuff. I really think like in that she was having a bad day. You know, like when you like.
Yeah, but as the storyline progresses, yeah, I guess maybe. I think
George wouldn't have thought of Izzy that way. He was so, like, he laughed when Callie said it.
Which I was...
That scene was horrifying.
You're gorgeous. You're curvy. Like, I was like, what are you saying, George?
Well, yeah, when he said, like, Izzy has it all. She's blonde. She's stacked, which is, like, the grossest.
Yeah. Like, also, who would want me? And then
I was, like, cringing when that happened.
And I would respond the exact same way Callie did. Like, what does that make...
Right, right.
What do you think about me?
Then? Right. Oh, that was an awful
scene. Then his response, you're gorgeous, you're curvy. I never think a woman like you would go for me. It's like, why did you have to throw in your curvy?
Yeah.
Like,
so stupid. It was, yeah. I did like, though, so then George is an idiot is my next note. So then George, you know, goes to Izzy's to drink. And I did like that, how that started. He says to Izzy, like, I need you to convince me to stay married. And Izzy, instead of like selfishly being like, well, this only lasts clearly like not very long, but instead of her being like, no, it was a mistake you shouldn't have, she says to him, I think everybody thinks that they're for like right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are moments that like they're a good friend to each other, but then it clearly alcohol just unravels everything.
I like when they do get wasted. I like the line of Izzy saying, don't be grabby. That's like a wasted thing to say to a...
Right.
Do we want to just... I mean, since we're on this one...
Keep going with this?
Yeah, why not?
My
final note was, oh God, they did it.
Yeah, I wrote, OMG, they have sex. I also wrote, they only make out because Izzy is alone. Like, I forgot they have sex. And I thought it was just like a make out first. I just forgot how this all went down. But I really think like, because that morning she had that conversation with Alex. Oh, she doesn't want to be alone. And he's like, you won't. And he wasn't interested in her. And I just think... She was being grabby.
She was being grabby and she was drunk and she found...
Yeah. And, like, George needed her.
I think she loves George.
I do, too, but I don't think, sexually.
I think she loves him and, like, misses their friendship and, like, the attention
that comes with.
Yeah. That he gave to her when he didn't have someone else.
Right, right. I agree.
And, like, through, like, the Meredith thing, like, Meredith and George sleeping together, like, Izzy was on George's side, you know, like...
Right.
It
throws a wrench in, like, everything.
Yeah. And the Callie relationship was so... what's the word? Like, it went really fast. What's the word I'm looking for? I wanted to say...
Tumultuous. Escalated. I don't know.
I wanted to say, like... it sped up. Yeah. Like, it happened really fast. And so, snowballed. What are you, you're saying all these words I'm not meaning. To
well, you're doing this, like, and then it went fast.
Like, it's like, it progressed very fast, okay, is what I meant. Nothing, yeah. And so there wasn't much time for Izzy to get used to the idea. It's what I was, right. The point I was trying to make.
Right.
Not tumultuous or snowball.
Well, it was tumultuous.
I know.
And it has to now snowball.
It's funny that we're not on the same wavelength at all.
I'm hot.
You seem like, you're like, can we just get through this episode? And
well, no, my brain is just hot. Mm-hmm. Like, my brain is, I think I have a brain tumor. Just kidding.
Speaking of brain tumors.
What? Oh,
are you patient?
I thought you had news.
No. No?
Yeah. To me, I'm like, Derek is... Okay, this is a note that explains the rest of what happened this episode. I wrote, attendings are running amok and no one is calling anyone.
I said, Derek is very big on pushing people to do surgeries they don't want to have.
Oh, always.
I think it's very inappropriate. He uses his power... To be like, no, this is the... He does it to so many patients.
Yeah.
He does it to in his relationship to Meredith.
Right.
We'll learn about that later.
Right.
But I also said, should Shepherd be allowed to operate on his friend? Probably not.
Yeah, they usually don't. I wonder, though, if it's like... they have. It's like
maybe their colleague friends.
Yeah, yeah. Like how Chief and the one guy was... Like, yeah. I think it's more of that.
That makes sense.
Because she is a doctor.
Yeah.
I do... think we should touch on the fact that Thatcher and stepmom, I can never remember her name, came over for dinner.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers.
Yeah, she comes
too
in.
Too soon.
Susan, right?
Yeah, Susan. Like, first of all, I forgot to, like, when Thatcher goes to, like, fix the light, the, like, breaker, that he lived there.
Yeah.
Like, that was a little bit of a whoa.
Yeah.
Moment for me.
Well, and, like, her being like, let us come over, or, like, come over, make chili, whatever. It's just like...
Too much.
Susan, shut the fuck up. Like, you're not family.
Right.
You're not.
They came there just to...
Or, like, if you want to be there for Meredith, so many people bring over meals for people. Don't make her have the meal with you.
Yeah, it was
be like,
weird.
We want to do something nice for you. Like, can we cook you dinner and drop it off when it's convenient to you?
Well, it was very devastating, too, that part when Thatcher's describing that photo.
Yeah, and she's like, that's me.
Yeah.
But then I did write... the swing thing shows that Thatcher was once a part of her life. You know, like, she says that it doesn't work, and he's like, oh, I put this thing in there because you used to catch your fingers in it.
Right.
And then, like, bops it, and it swings or whatever, and it is this moment of, like, oh, shit, he really did used to, like, care and think about his daughter.
Right. I thought it was a really good writing and just, like, a cool... Like, that was one of those, like, little Easter egg scenes where you're like, oh, I love that. Like, just starting with he knew where the breaker was, and then he needed a minute, and then, there's the pulling the little pin out. And that she says it's been here for years, but it doesn't swing anymore. I liked that.
Did you feel bad for Thatcher at all?
I don't know how I feel about him, because I also know how it, like, goes. But I do feel like Ellis pushed him away. So, like, but I also at the same time feel that he could have pushed back harder.
Yeah.
I think that it's like a character that I'll never fully understand how I feel about him.
And do you agree with, like, Susan, like, being like, you can be mad? Like,
oh, yeah. I do like Susan's character, because I feel like she's not telling Meredith to forgive everything and, like,
right.
But she's like giving
her the space.
Asking her
to open up.
Yes. And I'm sure she knows that she's doing it for Thatcher too. Like,
yeah.
So.
And I thought it was nice that Derek, like,
was there.
He's like, I'll come along or whatever. Right. I'll be your wingman.
They force Alex to sit down.
That was, like, weird. Like, and Alex is so unaware of what the fuck is going on.
Also very un-Alexy. He's, like, very kind, and he's like, my day was great, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, just very hungry.
Like, yeah, I also was, like, cute moment with Alex and Meredith, because it's, like, their future living in that house.
Yeah.
I don't know, just.
I had one random question.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, Addison and Mark, like, yell at each other because he does the eye surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, he literally had to sew his cervix.
Which I was like, ow.
Yeah. And then the same thing happens with, like, Burke and Shepherd. And he was like, you were showboating. Do you think that Derek was showboating when he cut open?
Because
Johnny Kay asked me that.
That's
a good question.
To me, they should be able to do that. Like, he's qualified.
Yeah.
I think it said there was, like, someone who was more qualified as next door.
But he was in surgery.
Right, but it was probably, I don't know. When Burke phrased it as, I wouldn't just cut into someone's brain without, you know what I mean? Like, then that made me kind of, oh, yeah, actually, I do think he was, because I don't know a lot about med school and whatever, but I'm pretty sure you get specialized in something, and that means that you're not specialized in all of the other things.
Well, yeah, but you think about it as surgical interns, they're doing surgery on all these
different... Right, but maybe not these, I don't know. I just think... Like, a lot of times they go in, like, Burke, we need you. And he's like, okay, close up. You know, like...
Yeah.
So I think they should have at least tried.
Yeah, so you think he was showboating.
A little bit. Derek is just... wants to be a hero. Always.
Well, yeah, but I think it's more about, like... And why... I guess my other question is, why are they trying to impress this Colin Marlowe so much?
Because they think he... I don't know. It just... Because it... Literally, I wrote, attendings have run amok.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is he, like, a very special surgeon?
Well, they said when he arrived, I think that he's, like, I think he's, like, on their level of, like, the best of something. Like, he's done something that has, like, put him on the map. Okay. But I think it's more that they think he's, like, in the running for...
Okay.
And so they, I don't know.
Huh.
What do you think? Do you think he was showboating?
Well, I don't know. I, like, did, but then Johnny K was like, I don't think he was. So then I was like, well, maybe he wasn't. But now when I heard you say, I was like, well, yeah, he is. So I guess I don't really, I guess I'm just swayed by the people around me. I'm just a tree blowing in the wind. I'll go either way.
When Susan is walking out of the house, why does she have her arm around Meredith? It looks so weird.
I don't remember.
She's just like walks out with her arm around her. It was weird enough to me that I had to write a note.
Also, just like the like candle. And also Meredith being like, it's from the store.
About I didn't chicken. Make the green beans. Izzy said. It's like, yeah. Just take credit for it, bitch.
Yeah, like whatever. Stop being so fucking awkward.
And dark.
Like, I know you're dark and twisty and blah, blah, blah. And your mom said, but like, literally, have you never had people over for dinner? It's not that hard.
Maybe she hasn't.
I guess not, but it's not that hard. No. Just fucking sit down, eat your fucking food, and kick them out. It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But to be fair, I've been in a lot of social
situations. It is her estranged father.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of social situations eating where I'm like, it's too quiet. I don't know what to say.
You just hear the forks and knives and forks and knives.
That should be a song.
Forks and knives. What was your song that you sang in French class? That you...
Les poissons, j'adore les poissons. Ils sont gris, ils sont fris, ils sont chicot poissons. I think it's like originally a song from The Little Mermaid, but we added some different French words.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
Do you have any outlier notes that...
I think I said all my notes.
Oh, there was... See, shoot, I can't remember what this is for. Oh, George tells them that Callie has money, and Meredith's reaction is, George, that's fantastic. And I just thought that was worth noting because it was funny. Also, we didn't even talk about the bullet guy. All I wrote is, bullet guy teaches us that nothing matters.
I have no notes on it.
Don't hold grudges? I don't know.
I have no notes on it. I mean, I felt bad for him. But, like, God, it's another fucking story about Izzy being like, something has shaped me and changed me. About,
exactly.
Like, yes. It's just always like, I get it.
Enough of it.
I mean, I get it. You went through, like, this crazy trauma, but, like, every fucking storyline and every patient is with Izzy is, like, I've been changed for the better.
I also almost showed you my boob. I was, like, fanning myself.
With it, I don't even think I would have noticed or paid any attention, to be completely honest.
Ooh, this will be fun. I have an idea. Well, first we'll do notes and trivia, then I'm going to do my idea. Okay, let's see here. Les poissons. Wait, that's Shrek the Musical. Where is my notes? Where is the thing? Where did it just go? Oh my god. Okay, Grey's Anatomy.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
What is this episode called? Stars?
Star. A Star is Born. It's called...
And Souvenirs. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Who's ready for notes and trivia?
I am.
Okay. So... The episode's title originated from the song Scars and Souvenirs, originally sung by Max Stalling. It had 22.68 million viewers.
$1 million.
And it says, when Izzy goes into Meredith's room after she comes out of the shower, you can see a tag on her back of something she's wearing underneath the towel.
Really?
We should read these before we watch it.
That's funny.
Is it? It is. Okay, here's what we're going to do new before we rate it.
What?
We're going to give sneaks of next week of what we're going to talk about. Since sneaks? We know. Yeah, like, be like, next week we're going to talk about.
Oh.
So keep going. So, like, pick maybe your favorite thing that you want
to... This is fun. Let's add this to every episode. Yeah.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I think what I'm excited to talk about is Elizabeth Moss.
Dude! Right?
Blessed be the fruit.
May she open. He open. I don't know which one it is.
We have an Elizabeth Moss cameo.
And I will talk a little bit more about that next week and how I discovered that. It was her, because I didn't know. I guess my little sneak is going to be probably just about intense hangovers.
Ooh, yeah, this is a good one. Yeah. I liked this next week's episode better than this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to rate this one not very high. I'm going to rate it a 5. 4.75.
I rated it, like, on my notes. I've never done that before.
That's smart. A 3?
No, I rated it a 4.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Right on trend.
But after talking about it, I'm changing it to a 3. I just really didn't care for this episode at all.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't even remember what happened in half of it, so whatever. It's
listeners, if you want to find us on Instagram, you can find us at The On Call Room Pod. If you want to find us on Patreon, where you can co-host, which next week we're going to have a patron co-host, you can find us on patreon.com/theoncallroom. And if you just want to find us on the World Wide Web, go to www.oncallroompod.com. Tell your friends, leave a review, subscribe.
Read my summaries.
Bitches.
Leave a review about my summaries.
Yeah, do that.
This podcast summaries are the best. The podcast blows, but the summaries are great. Anyway, so thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in next week to hear about those little sneak peeks.
Yeah, that wasn't that fun?
Yeah, that was great. Okay, so I'll call Time of Death. Time of Death is 2032.
Beep.